from San Francisco, California. This is the Rock and Roll Geek Show.
This is the story of my rock and roll butler.
Welcome to the Rock and Roll Geek Show. My name's Michael Butler. Thanks a lot for joining me. I really appreciate it. Today is Friday, August 21st, 2020, and it is 6:16 p.m. when I'm recording this episode. Let me open up the second beer of the day. This is a Kona Brewing Company Longboard Island Lagers. Let me take this first sip of the second beer of the day. Oh yeah, that's good. The best one. Okay. Well, I planned on doing a regular length show tonight, but I think I'm going to put that off until Monday. I was going to do a track by track of the late of the new Massive Wagons album. It's about time for me to do it, but I'm going to put that off until Monday because I am just, the smoke has been, we're having these wildfires all over, all around San Francisco. We're in like the center of it, and they're to the north of us, they're to the south of us, and they are to the east of us. And the smoke is really overpowering. I mean, I can hardly even breathe right now. The smoke is overpowering in the air, and there's ash falling on all the cars. And I was pressure washing Eric Morton's in the metal CPA's house today, and I was just like having trouble breathing. So I am going to not do a long show tonight. I'm just going to do another short Dog Days episode. This is day 19, I believe, of the days of Dog Days of podcasting, where we attempt to do a show a day for the entire month of August. I was also hoping to go fishing tomorrow. The plan was to pressure wash Eric Morton's house, be done early, load up the kayak, and go fishing. Well, I wasn't sure where I was going to fish. Salmon is still happening, so I was told by one of the kayak fishermen guys who can't fish tomorrow, but told me try Bolinas. So I was going to check about Bolinas. Well, first of all, Bolinas is a surf launch, and that's kind of tough when, well, the waves are calling for 3 to 4 feet. It's not impossible, it's possible to do a surf launch, but it's very sketchy. But besides that, even if it was 1 foot, Bolinas is having evacuations. He said, well, try Half Moon Bay. Well, I was going to, I thought about Half Moon Bay because it's still salmon season, and salmon, and a guy who owns a boat told me that the salmon are right in at Bolinas right now. But Bolinas is having evacuations, so I can't go to Bolinas. Thought about going to Half Moon Bay. Half Moon Bay is under evacuation warnings. There's a fire going on around there, so they don't want anybody going around to the harbor. I was going to go to Timber Cove and try for some rockfish, which is about an hour and a half north. They are under evacuation. There's fires right above them. So it's not looking too good for me to go fishing. There is an option. I could go up to Shelter Cove, which is about 4 hours and 15 minutes from here. If I do that, it will be tomorrow afternoon. Because I have a bunch of job estimates I have to do. I hope you're okay with me talking about my life. If you're not, I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. I have some job estimates I was going to type on Sunday. I have like 4 estimates to send out and to figure out prices for. So I think I could do that tomorrow. Leave tomorrow around noon and head up to Shelter Cove, which is a 4.5 hour drive, and try to fish there because it's going to be fishable there and there's no fires way that north. Why am I not going to the Mountain House, you might ask? Well, because I can't take Monday off because I want to finish Eric Morton's house by Wednesday if possible so that I can go down the following up to the Mountain House the following weekend. Pardon me, I'm burping this fine Longboard Island Lager. So I need to stay in San Francisco or I need to stay here for the weekend. But I could go up to Shelter Cove and fish. I'm thinking about that. I'm at like 50-50 right now. It just depends how well I get along with the lovely wife. But I won't go there. I want to say also, rest in peace to Frankie Benali from Quiet Riot. Died today of cancer got the best of him. They gave him 6 months to live, like back in April of 2019, he was diagnosed with a stage 4 pancreatic cancer. They gave him 6 months to live. And he, well, April, so that's May, June, July. So he lasted like 16 months. So he beat it like, you know, 10, he went 10 months longer than he was, than they were expecting him to. That don't make it any easier. I was listening to Eddie Trunk for the beginning of the show. Eddie Trunk was starting to crack up. I mean, by crack up, I mean start to cry, like I cried when I talked to Pete Way's wife. And it was very sad. I did not know Frankie Benali. I did see Quiet Riot, or no, I did see he played with Faster Pussycat. He was filling in for Faster Pussycat's drummer. I was in Florida. And I was still living in Florida, I believe, or else I was in California, but I came back to visit, and some friends were going down to Gainesville or somewhere down a little south of Jacksonville to see, maybe Daytona, to see Faster Pussycat. And Frankie Benali was filling in for Faster Pussycat's drummer. Faster Pussycat was really good that night. I was surprised. One thing that stands out about that, one of the people who were with us went on their bus on the Faster Pussycat bus, and she came out bragging, "I had full on intercourse with Tammy Down. We made love." And I was like, "Oh brother, I know somebody else up here who did the exact same thing with Tammy Down, but we won't get into that either." Anyway, Frankie Benali was playing with Faster Pussycat that night, and they were really good. I did not know Frankie Benali. I saw Quiet Riot at the Jacksonville Coliseum, opening for somebody. It could have been Motley Crue or one of those bands. Could have been Ozzy. I'm not sure, but they were really good. That was when Rudy Sarzo was with them. I enjoyed them. Carlos Cavazo, Rudy Sarzo, Kevin Dubrow. And also, I saw when American Heartbreak was up in Seattle recording Postcards from Hell, we were walking down the street. We were playing at some place, at some punk rock club or a punk rock theater, and Quiet Riot was playing down the street at a bigger club. And we're walking down the street and we saw Frankie Benali and Kevin Dubrow walking down the street and said, "Hey, Quiet Riot." And he goes, "Hey, what's going on?" And, you know, they were like, "What's going on, dudes?" And, you know, they were cordial. I've heard nothing but good things about Frankie Benali. No, everybody says he's a nice guy. And the documentary that he made about Quiet Riot, when they were looking for this a new singer, and this guy who was a house painter auditioned for him. He was actually in the band for a while, and he really sucked bad. And they interviewed that guy after he got kicked out of the band, and he was in paint clothes, like me. Yeah, it was, yeah. Yep. So, rest in peace, Frankie Benali. Like I said, I didn't know him, but he was a great drummer. I did not know, I did find out about this on Eddie Trunk's show. He played drums and he did a lot of session work. He played on a couple of Billy Idol recordings, Money Money and the cover of that Doors song. Yeah, so it's sad when we lose somebody. He was only like 68 years old or something like that, or maybe even younger, 67, something like that. It's sad. Everybody said good things about him. Rest in peace, Frankie Benali. It's not as tough on me as it was losing Pete Way, but you know, I know it's tough on his wife. Can't be easy. And she stood by him till the end. Apparently, well, it was in the news a couple of days ago that he had a stroke. And he was in the hospital for a stroke. Well, apparently, he had multiple strokes and he was not doing well, and sad way to go. Painful death. I don't wish that on anybody. So friends, be thankful for the life you have and for your health above all, because he could take us just like that, man. So rest in peace, Frankie Benali. It sucks. All right, I have a show review from, I think this is from Chad Burns.
Hey, Michael Butler. Longtime listener, Chad Burns.
Hey, Chad.
How you doing today?
I'm super great. Couldn't be better. A little sad about Frankie Benali, but like I said, I was way more sad with Pete Way, but rest in peace, Frankie Benali, anyway. But other than that, I'm super great. Couldn't be better, Chad.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm also super great. Can't be better.
Yes.
I just wanted to call and congratulate you on your 1,000th episode.
Thank you, friend.
I really enjoyed listening to it. Loved the call-ins and all the tributes. It's pretty awesome. So back when you did...
Yeah, one of the people who congratulated me on the 1,000th episode and was a Patreon donor. He bailed on the show because of something I said on Mad at Dad, which I will go into it, Matt, on Mad at Dad, which he kind of put me in a bummed out mood because I'd been having conversations with this dude offline. You know, we would email each other back and forth. Seemed like a good dude. So for somebody to turn on me for one thing I said on Mad at Dad was, you know, kind of sad, but eh. What are you going to do? People are very sensitive. Back to you, Chad Burns.
The rest in peace, Sally Cato, Smash Gladys, singer.
Oh, yeah, we lost the singer for Smash Gladys as well.
In one of your episodes, it reminded me of an experience that I had with Smash Gladys.
Oh, good.
It was...
it's a Smash Gladys show review. I like this.
1988. Uh-huh. I was 18 years old, and Smash Gladys played in a small... town. I'm trying to think of how big it is. Probably 4,000 people. There's a venue there. It was called Nashville North. It was in Taylorville, Illinois. Uh-huh. And they played their opening for Crocus. And all my friends and I loved Smash Gladys. And so we all loaded up in the car, went down to Taylorville, Illinois to see Smash Gladys. And they were amazing. I remember the band... was all on stage except for her, and they're all rocking, and she comes out, and if you remember on the back sleeve of the album, she's wearing these pants that are like ripped right by the bottom of her butt, and she came running out with those mirror sunglasses and just the coolest.
She was cool.
And I remember at the time all my friends and I, we really didn't like girl bands or any like...
Yeah,
the band had a girl.
She was a tough lead, a tough girl singer.
For some reason, I don't know why, but we didn't like those types of bands. But
Chad,
for some reason,
you were a sexist. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Smash Gladys didn't matter that she was a girl singer. Maybe their sound was just sleazy enough.
Yeah, they had some good tunes too.
You know, in that era of LA Guns and Guns N' Roses, that they just fit right in. So anyway. I don't remember. I mean, they played the whole, pretty much the whole first album. So I don't have like a song list for you. But I remember that. So they get done. We were right up front. And Crocus comes out, which we all liked Crocus. But by this time.
What tour was that for Crocus? I don't know. I saw Crocus open for Nazareth, which was one of the greatest shows of my life. That guitar player they had, the rhythm guitar player, did the coolest guitar solo I've ever seen, where he swung the guitar around his head by the guitar cord. It was a badass solo. But and that they were putting for Nazareth. Nazareth was on the Full Circle tour. That was Crocus Hardware tour, I believe, when I saw Crocus.
I think Crocus had opened for just about every tour since I was 15, seemed like. They opened for Sammy Hagar. They opened for Judas Priest.
Yeah, sadly, Crocus was on their farewell tour, and it was doing well before this Corova hit, and now they had to say farewell to the farewell tour.
They opened for so many other bands. So we'd seen them probably five or six times already in like 3 years. So we watched a few songs of Crocus. Well, we see the band go out off the side into their bus. And one of my friends said, hey, Smash Gladys just got on their bus. We should follow them to see where they're going.
Oh, nice.
Maybe they're staying in town. Uh-huh. So, like I said, we'd seen Crocus enough. So we jumped in the car and followed, stalked their tour bus.
I've done it.
They pull into this.
I did the same thing to Ted Nugent and other bands as well.
Small motel.
Huh.
I mean, just... It looked like a hole in the wall. Mm-hmm. So anyway, they pull in. We pull in behind them, and then they all go around like back. So they must have already checked in. So they went around this back entrance around the side of the hotel. And we walked back there, and we just – it was one of those, you know, where you can knock on the door from the outside. So we knock on the door, and one of the guitar players opens it, and I think it was Bart Lewis is his name. Mm-hmm. And he started talking with an English accent, which none of
Hello,
us knew
mate.
That he was English.
Oh, okay.
So we were just saying how we were huge fans, and we just saw them. And
hey, man, we just saw you guys open for Crocus, dude. Oh, mate.
So he came out. He was, I think, drinking a beer. And then the other guitar player came out. I don't remember his name. So, and then the bass player, the drummer. So they were all out there just talking to us. Just
hey, man, there's some fans outside. Really? They like, they're fans of us? Oh, shit, I'm going out there.
Maybe they were happy that somebody recognized them, you
yeah.
know? I'm not sure, because they hadn't been out that long. So but no sign of Sally. So we're sitting there talking to them. I think they might have even gave us a couple of their beers, if I'm remembering it right. You know, at the ripe age of 18, I know we had our own beer, but so anyway, we were just geeking out talking to these guys, and seemed to really enjoy talking to us. So
yeah.
All of a sudden, here comes Sally, and she's walking a Doberman Pinscher.
Really? She brought her dog on the road with her. That's cool.
And it's crazy.
She's got a Doberman.
I'm 50 years old, and I can vividly remember this. And she was wearing shorts and a T-shirt with a jacket over it. Like a jean jacket, and then the band said, hey, these guys are fans and wanted to meet us, and they saw us tonight. So she was super nice talking to us. Well, she turns around, and she's got on the back of her jacket Nazareth. It was a Nazareth jacket.
Uh-huh.
Like had like jewels on the back and just said Nazareth. And instantly we liked him even more because we all love Nazareth.
Uh-huh.
And we just thought that was the coolest that a girl actually liked
yeah.
Nazareth.
That's
so
awesome.
They were very welcoming, and then they said, well, we're going to not have much sleep. We're going to get to our next stop tomorrow. I can't remember. It was
where in other words,
going,
get the hell out, boys.
Anyway, so we left, and we have a memory for life. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you. Been wanting to share it with you.
That's
since
a great story, Chad.
Then, and just lost track of time. But anyway, thanks for always letting us all call in and giving you our memories and making us part of the show. And congratulations again on 1,000. Stay frosty.
Stay frosty. Thank you, friend. You too can leave me a show review from the past or memories of concerts of the past. I like that one. You can, usually people go on Setlist FM and they will and look on the set list and talk about that. But if you have a memory like Chad Burns, like when you follow the band to the hotel and drank with them in the hotel bar, something like that. I like to hear that stuff too. So please send me that stuff. Record it on your phone. Just send it to me, rockandrollgeek@gmail.com. Because I need content for the dog days of podcasting, friends. Huh. I just got a breaking message here on my phone. Billy Rowe from the Butlers is now in Buck Cherry. Huh. Good for Billy. Congratulations, Billy Rowe. I hope this Corova gets over soon as you can go on tour with Buck Cherry. That's great news. Congratulations, friend. There you go. You heard it here, friends. All right. Thank you for listening. That's surprising. Billy and Buck Cherry. Billy would be good in that band. He'll make that band better, I think. All right, so let's continue with the Pete Way. I'm going to play something from Lights Out UFO. I was going to play some Mogwai. Was it Kirk Crawford sent me the Mogwai? Somebody did, but I'm going to have to let that Mogwai grow on me. I'm not loving it, so I'll pull something off from that Mogwai soon. But I'm going to play something from Lights Out tonight. I saw them open for Styx. It was Styx, UFO, and Ram Jam on the I think it was a Lights Out tour, and they opened with this song, Electric Phase. So that's what I'm going to play for you. Thank you for listening, friends. Please keep the donations coming. Without your donations, this show would die a horrible, putrid, stench-filled death, and it's a value for value. So if you get any value from this, if you appreciate me doing a show a day for 30 days, and you think it brings you any kind of joy, and you have a couple of bones to spare, and you don't hate somebody because they say something that you don't agree with on Mad at Dad, throw it my way, friends. I would appreciate it. And you can find this show at rockandrollgeek.com. Find me on the Facebook, R&R Geek. Find me on the Twitter, R&R Geek. Find me on the Instagram, Rock and Roll Geek. Don't ask. What is the breaking news here? The group image that I was sent has been deleted. So there was a group image, a Buck Cherry picture that came out on the internet with Billy Rowe in it. And then it got pulled. And I heard that from somebody else. He just sent me this. I heard that from somebody else today, too, that they asked me if Billy Rowe was in Buck Cherry. So I'm thinking he is. So if he is, congratulations to Billy Rowe. All right, friends, thank you for listening. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Here is Electric Phase from UFO. Your house of phone is ringing. Just a hot touch that
It's a rock and roll geek train wreck.